This is Talia Trigueros here on 94.7 The Wave, the soul of Southern California. And we are celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month by honoring those who are making waves in our community. And I'd like to honor the executive director of Hispanas Organized for Political Equality, HOPE, Helen Iris Torres. Did you kind of feel the drum roll?
The drumming?
Yeah, the drum roll.
I did. Thank you. I love it. And I love making waves. So I am very honored by this opportunity and everything that comes with making waves, which means, you know, setting our community high above everything.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about your upbringing and background.
Well, I was born on the beautiful island of Puerto Rico.
Oh.
That is going through a lot of hard times right now.
Yes.
But I'm very optimistic for it. My mother, as a single parent, came to the United States when I was 3 years old, moved with my sister and I to Detroit, Michigan.
Wow.
I always tease her that she took the wrong plane. You know, as Puerto Ricans, you usually see us populating New York and New Jersey. Don't
sure.
hear about too many Puerto Ricans in Detroit. But that was my upbringing. As a single mother, she raised my sister and I to have fantastic values, told us from day one we're going to go to college. And we came to the United States because I had a pretty serious heart condition.
Oh.
I was able to have open heart surgery when I was 12 years old. My mother worked on and off. She was a welfare to work mom and really worked very hard to ensure that I had all the medical needs that I needed. And I got to tell you, I think that planted the seed for me to be an advocate. I experienced firsthand the importance of having a good healthcare system made available to children,
mm-hmm.
and also ensuring that, you know, women who didn't speak the language, that were hardworking, had an opportunity to rise above it all and really had a place at the table. And sometimes that wasn't the case for my mom. She faced a lot of discrimination as a single parent for a while. And it was difficult, and I was a witness to all that. So that really brought me to coming out to California, being a part of a great organization like HOPE. All those experiences of my youth really has determined what type of advocate I've become.
When did you move to Southern California?
I was 24 years old, mm-hmm. roughly 24, maybe 25.
You spread wings, right?
I wanted to have that feeling of being part of a large Latino community.
Well, was there a Puerto Rican community in Detroit?
A very small one, probably like one block.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was very small. There was a larger Mexican-American community. A lot of people don't realize this, but at the time, Michigan, and for a very long time, was one of the, it's an agriculture state. Everyone mm-hmm. always thinks about the Mortar City, but there's a lot of
right.
agriculture in Western Michigan, and there's a lot of migrant farm workers.
Uh-huh.
So there's pockets throughout the major cities of Michigan where there has been migration from Mexico, and, you know, various Mexican-Americans have settled, or Mexicans turning Mexican-Americans have settled there.
Wow, that is fascinating. You know, I'm seeing a list of accomplishments. I mean, here it is. It's a one-page bio, but man, you've done a whole lot of stuff, and working with many of our governors here in California. Tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about that.
Well, it's been a privilege. My first step into public service was as a commissioner for, at that time, it was California Go Serve, and it basically was a commission that provided the AmeriCorps dollars. If you're familiar with the AmeriCorps program, that's the Peace Corps, but for the United States.
Ah.
And it provides college students who are recent graduates the ability to go work for nonprofits in low-income communities. And so they are able to get a stipend, as well as sometimes have some loan forgiveness. And the commission that I served on was the administrator of those dollars that came from the federal government to get out to communities. And it was a great experience. I was appointed by Governor Davis and reappointed by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great privilege of working with then First Lady Maria Shriver. She, of course, coming from this family of service, really infused the commission with a lot of fantastic ideas. We built Cesar Chavez parks all across California in celebration of Cesar Chavez, and specifically during the holiday. So it was a great experience. It was a great experience of ensuring that government was giving opportunities for these young professionals to go on and serve in various communities.
Yeah, so you've pretty much always been community service oriented, right?
About 100%. I think there was 5 years I worked for a public relations firm, and let's just say public service is really my forte.
Yeah.
I hats off to all those that do PR. I couldn't do it. I congratulate those who can. But what I did learn was the importance of media,
mm-hmm.
the importance of getting out there, getting your message heard, and how underrepresented some of our communities was when they didn't have a seat at the table and they didn't have someone advocating for them.
I think it's an important in these specific days, too, that that message is very, very clear.
Mm-hmm. There's so much to cut through.
Yeah.
And people are constantly restating your message and trying to interpret it for you. Uh-huh. Or, you know, some people sometimes hack into your message. So you have to look out for that and really own it.
You know, I have a question. Is it really my imagination or is it a fact? I mean, we love our Latino men, no question. But as far as Latino women, we tend to really move up the ladder of the corporate world. Are there any real statistics on that, or is it just an observation on my part?
We're almost tied, quite frankly, between Latinas and Latinos in the corporate world. There has been a little bit more done for Latinos, if you will, in the United States overall in corporate advancement. But the good news is here in California, it took us a long time, but we finally have our first Latina CEO of a major publicly traded company, and that's Geisha Williams, an incredible story. You know, she came from Cuba, was a refugee, and has done a fantastic job of rising up the corporate ladder and representing from a Latina perspective, and she's very proud of her roots. So there's these speckles of hope, if you will, and individuals that are really rising to the top, but there's still a lot of challenges. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is, when we did a report at Hope, it's a little dated, so take that into consideration. 2009, we looked at all the publicly traded companies here in California, and there was zero at that time, zero Latinas at the C-suite level. So now that's changed. We're actually going to commission that report again to see what the change has been, but it's not tremendous. And it's the same for women overall. So there's a lot of work to get done. Are we seeing more Latinas going into college? Absolutely. Yeah. You know, so that's the horizon. That's the future, that we know that Latinas are grasping and going into opportunities that are made available for them, and they're going to succeed. And that's what the future is going to look like.
And I'm seeing that Hope, more than likely, is really helping these young women also, right?
So we really have a multi-generational approach, very similar to our Latino community, where we're one big family.
Yeah.
So we have leadership programs for high school students. We have a leadership program for college students. The high school students, we want to make sure they're going to college. And everything that we do, we infuse with civic engagement. So what does that mean? We have voter registration drives. We walk them through the process of getting a bill passed. In college, we not only challenge them to register people to vote, but now we're preparing for the census. At the same time, we have job fairs for these young women who are ready to go into the job market. And so that's a great opportunity. And then lastly, we have what we're really known for is our Hope Leadership Institute. And that's a program for adult Latinas. The average age is about 35, who has 5+ years of community experience. And it's just really ready to take it to the next level. And what that may mean is that they're currently volunteering. Maybe they're serving on a local commission, but maybe they're ready to be on a statewide commission. Maybe they're ready to run for office. Maybe they're ready to open their nonprofit. And this program really is a process in which they go through for 9 months to really help them define what that next big step is for their community development.
So Hope, is it California-based?
Well, I'm excited to say that we're bi-national now.
Very good.
Just launched in July of 2018 a bi-national program. So we have 16 amazing Latina leaders from the United States and 4 amazing Latina leaders from Mexico coming together for a 6-month program. And that program is designed to get them to serve either at the national level here in the United States or in Mexico, obviously, and then into leading international organizations. So at the end of the day, Hope is growing, and that's a really good message to get out there.
Well, congratulations. That's great. You know, when it comes to the organization Hope, now, sometimes there's this thing about sometimes the best man for the job is a woman. Okay, that's a fabulous thing. I've always loved that, and that I get. But it doesn't always mean, for example, when we go into the voting booth, because you're talking political equality, that individuals out there will vote for the last name. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So how, I guess what I'm trying to say in this current political climate, is it really difficult when you all get together, you know, with the Hope organization and the conferences or the seminars, whatever it may be, do you find that there's a 50-50 split there also when it comes to political views?
If you say political views, you mean from a partisan standpoint?
Yes.
You know, I think California is a pretty blue state, and Latinos as a community are pretty much on that blue side of the aisle.
Right.
So I think it's difficult to find different perspectives within that spectrum. I think that's a challenge, but we want to.
Right.
I think it's so critical for our democracy to have a lot of people at the table right. with different thoughts and
the
different
conversation,
ideas.
A civil conversation.
And that's what we strive for, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what truly democracy is,
yeah.
is when you have all the best minds come together, come to agreement in a civil way, and really move community forward. That's the type of equality we need to see.
I think it's great. There's some hope for hope, Brooke.
There's always hope. You cannot be the executive director of hope without having optimism and hope at the core of what your beliefs, right? And
good
your
deal,
values.
Good deal. On a personal level, you have a set of twins, right?
I do. Yes, they're amazing.
Sweet. How old are they?
They're going to be 12 in October.
Oh, wow.
So right now they're acting like they're 14.
Boys,
you know,
girls?
Boys.
Oh, okay.
Adam and Joshua, beautiful boys, incredibly talented. And one is already researching going to the University of Irvine for their coding school there, who's one of the best schools in the United States. The other one believes he's going to be a YouTube star. So got to be supportive of both of them.
They're
both doing really great in school.
Just
trying to keep them motivated.
Yeah,
right? I think
right?
that's the biggest challenge.
Very, very important. What are your thoughts on the arts and music and food and culture and bringing that all together as far as a Latina woman?
I think it's always to be celebrated. I think it's one of the most beautiful things that we have in our culture is that wherever you go, you can find a rhythm and a beat and you celebrate it, right?
Yeah.
You have a big smile, you're welcoming. It's part of who we are.
Yeah, it is.
And to, you know, embrace our food, to embrace our figures, to embrace our language and embrace our culture, it's a beautiful thing. And we fought really hard to continue doing that. So as you know, at Latina History Day, which Hope celebrates every March, the second Friday of March, when we're celebrating Women's History Month, we want to make sure we take a day on to celebrate the contributions Latinas are making in this state, in this nation. And so Hope was the founder of Latina History Day, and we've been doing it almost for 30 years.
That's the one that meets in Sacramento, is that
correct? That's Action Day.
Okay.
So the Action Day is all in Sacramento, and that's all about talking to your elected officials of what action they should be taking on behalf of your community. Latina History Day is during Women's History Month and celebrating the contributions Latinas have made. So we've had great speakers. Last year, we had Sonia Manzano, who played Maria on Sesame Street. We've had Rita Moreno. We've had Eva Longoria. We've had Sonia Nazaro, a Pulitzer Prize winner. All of them come from different Latino backgrounds,
mm-hmm.
but they all can come together with the inspiration of how Latinas are succeeding and the contributions they're making here in the United States.
And before I even got to that question, when you first told me that you were Puerto Rican, and I didn't know that, and I thought mofongo.
Oh, I know. Oh, my God. I love mofongo.
You have a recipe for
that.
I need it.
You know, I wish I did. You don't want me cooking, but my grandmother makes the best mofongo, and my sister, actually, Jennifer, makes great pasteles and great arroz con gandules. And, I just love it. I love it.
Funny how that really brings people together, too, though?
It does.
It totally does. Yeah.
And, you know, and of course, Puerto Ricans love their habichuela, not to be confused with frijoles, right?
Right, exactly. Habichuelas are a little bit different. Yeah, right?
Biggest inspirations, whether personal or, you know, professional, or who are your biggest inspirations?
You know, my mother was my motivating factor of how I got to where I am. You know, seeing her experience firsthand was the motivation of ensuring that we were advocating in a strong voice for our community. All the discrimination, the programs that helped us become successful, you know, that are always constantly on the cutting block, that's what inspired me and motivated me to be a strong advocate. Right now, the number one reason I wake up in the morning is to be a strong advocate for our community, but also to be a great mom and wife. And when I look at my sons, Adam and Joshua, and I think about raising fantastic gentlemen, you know, feminists, I get excited about that. And I get optimistic about the world they're going to create. And I just want to make sure I leave them something fantastic.
I think you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you.
That's an amazing job. Any special thoughts for our WAVE listeners?
You know, always have hope. At the end of the day, you've got to wake up and or look through your day and think of that one moment of inspiration, something that did go right, and concentrate on that. If we lose hope, we lose a lot.
Yeah.
So don't lose hope. Always have hope. If you're a Latina listening, know that you have an incredible organization that's constantly advocating advocating for your place at the table, in the decision-making table, and that is hope.
That's exactly why we are tipping our hat to you, lady.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for your inspiration.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for accepting the invitation on being one of our honorees as we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month here on The Wave. Helen Iris Torres, thanks again. Executive Director of Hope Hispana's Organized for Political Equality, making waves in our community, and being a good mommy, too, right?
Oh, thank you to all of the mommies out there.